We're going to focus on the story of David in the Bible, because when we talk about intimacy with God from the Psalms, of course most of the Psalms, or a lot of our Psalms, were written by David, and it's recorded in God's Word that David was a man after God's own heart. So I thought, well, it would be a good place to go to really think about how to be a woman after God's own heart. And for this second session, we're focusing on the need for forgiveness. David, the forgiven sinner. Forgiveness and restoration, which is essential to intimacy. And that is, I guess, the starting point for us all, isn't it? The starting point in having intimacy with God is that we need to know God's forgiveness. And that's not just only when we come to the Lord Jesus and ask for forgiveness for our sins and ask to be made a child of God. It is also for us in our Christian walk. I remember being given, as a young Christian, a little thing to put in the Bible, and it was just little things to remember each day. And I remember one of those things was keep short accounts with God. And that's something that stuck with me throughout my Christian life. Keep short accounts with God. We need to know God's forgiveness in our lives daily, or I know I do. I need to know God's forgiveness in my life daily. So David is a wonderful person to come to and to see that this man, who was the man after God's own heart, but who definitely needed to know God's forgiveness, who sinned greatly. And you know, the stories of David and the writings of David take up more than anyone else in the Bible, other than the Lord Jesus, David is spoken of most of all. Had you realised that? It's amazing, really. It's a big segment of the Bible that's given over to David. So there must be a reason for that. And I believe the reason for that is that God really wants us to know about David's life, because he was the man after God's own heart. And look, it can encourage us, it can challenge us, but it can help us to just see where David was at. So David started his life well. As a young man, when we first see him, he starts his life well. We see Samuel coming and anointing David as the one to be the king. David didn't become king for a long time after that, but he started well. And we see, as a young shepherd boy, and then as going out and fighting Goliath as a young man, and that beautiful story that children have enjoyed for years and years, all the time since the Bible was there, that lovely story of David going after Goliath and saying, "He cannot defy the armies of the living God, and I will go and fight Goliath. That's no problem, because the Lord is with us." And so he felled Goliath with one tiny stone. Amazing story. Well, David did all these wonderful things and started well, but then we come to when he became king, and we have this terrible story in 2 Samuel chapter 11 of David's fall into sin. And over the time before that, the Lord had blessed David greatly. David had known God's goodness in his life in so many wonderful ways. In 2 Samuel 12, 7 and 8, we read some of the ways that God had shown his goodness to David. And I'll just look at that now, because Nathan the prophet had to finally come and tell David about his sin. I guess you all know the story well, but we're just going to go over it again today. But okay, let's first of all go over these things that God had been so good to David. 2 Samuel 12, 7 and 8. It says there, "Then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man who has done this sin. Thus says the Lord, God of Israel. First of all, I anointed you king over Israel. I wanted you to be king.' So it was through God's goodness that David had become king. That was the first thing that God had done for him. Secondly, it goes on to say, 'And I delivered you out of the hand of Saul.' And if you, after this weekend, want to go home and really make a study of the life of Saul, it'll take you some time to get through all the things in the Bible about David. If you want to look at David's life, you will find about where Saul ruthlessly went after David and sought his life, wanted to kill him because he was so madly jealous of David. And the Spirit of God had deserted Saul and gone to David. So you have long times when David was out in the wilderness with Saul chasing him. And God had delivered him from the hand of Saul. It was God who had done that. Thirdly, it says, God gave you your master's house and your master's wives, it says. And God had given him a house to live in, a beautiful palace, and he'd given David wives, in the plural. David seemed to be a man who had a problem sexually, and he had many wives, even more with Solomon when he came up later, but David had many wives. He had some very beautiful wives, but God had given him those wives. Then it says, not only have I given you that, but I gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. So God had given him his kingdom as well. And then there's a lovely little verse that I've never noticed before. At the end of this verse 8, it says, and if that had been too little, I would have added that much again. And I thought, that is what God is like. And I love that story that Penny told us last session about the lady viewing all those gifts that were still wrapped. And you know, God is a giving God, and he loves to give to us. He loves to give us good gifts. And he said to David, if that hadn't been enough, I would have given you over and above abundantly. And we, like David, are often too unwilling to take what God has given for us. So there was David, who'd been amazingly blessed, and we come here today amazingly blessed as well by God. By a God who loves us and who cares about us. So how did David slip into sin so easily? This man who'd started so well, who'd fought Goliath, who'd been there in the wilderness and been a brave and wonderful soldier to his men. How come this man slipped into sin when God made him king? Well, I thought about that and I thought, first of all, because he's human. And we so easily fall into sin, don't we? And David was human and fell into sin. And firstly, he became too confident in his own abilities. And he was now king, and it tells you that at the beginning of the story of in 2 Samuel chapter 11, it says, in the spring when kings go forth to battle, David sent Joab with his servants and all Israel, and they went off to war, but David remained in Jerusalem. I don't blame David for wanting to remain in Jerusalem. He'd had a lot of war. And I guess for David, life had become very cheap. There had been so much war. And there had to be war because, remember, the people had come into their land, into their promised land, and they had disobeyed God by not getting rid of the giants and the people who still lived in that land. So it was David had to do a lot of warring to remove the enemies of God from the land. But David had failed to remember that it was God's war, and David had suddenly decided that he wasn't going to leave his house. He was going to stay, and he'd let his servants and soldiers go into war without him. He'd stay at home having an easy time of it. He should have been out at war, but he stayed at home. So first of all, David had become too confident. He'd been a warrior, he'd probably seen some awful sights, and life had become cheap. And here he was saying, oh, I've had enough, I'll stay at home. So he stayed at home. And it says in verse 2, one evening David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house when there he saw a woman bathing, and she was very lovely to behold. So the scene is set for temptation. Well, there was the temptation. And David was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And you know, that's often us when we are in temptation. We're there because we shouldn't be there. And we know that we shouldn't be there, but we've gone and done our own thing. And this was a time when David had gone and done his own thing. He'd become lazy. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And he saw. And having seen, that led to thinking. And those thoughts led to lust, which led to inquiry as to who this woman was. Now, God always tries to give us a way out. And David had a way out there because he was told that this woman was Bathsheba, that she was the wife of Uriah, who was one of David's generals in his army. She was also the granddaughter of Ahithophel, who was David's greatest confidant and the one who, the wise counsellor to David. So David should have said, "Oh, well then she's off limits to me." Yeah. But what did he say? He inquired, and I guess perhaps because she was off limits to him, he decided that lust became greater. And instead of taking it to the Lord, he didn't. He kept on thinking. And what happened then? He sent for her. Now we don't know whether Bathsheba had anything to do with it. She may have been quite innocent in all of that. And I guess she didn't know that the king was at home. He should have been out with his warriors at war. Her husband was out at war, so David should have been out at war too. But no, he wasn't. He was there at home. He did not seek the Lord's face. He took her. At this stage, David was not honest with God. And you know the thing that comes through in David's life is mostly, at most times, David is very honest with God. And I believe for intimacy with God, we need to have that honesty with God. David, at this time, was dishonest. He didn't seek God's face because he knew if he sought God's face, God would say to him, "David, no." But he wanted. And so he took her. We can fall into sin as easily as David. And the necessity for us is to stay in the will of God. To day by day, keep short accounts with God. Go to him day by day and say, "Lord, I need you for today, for whatever I'm going to have to face. For the temptations that I'm going to have to face. For whatever situation I'm going to have to face today, Lord, please keep me in your will." And be obedient. This time, David was not obedient. And this time, he was not honest. We need to be honest with God. So often at the hospital, I meet people who are full of, "Why has this happened to me? Why has God allowed this thing to happen in my life?" And I say to them, "Have you talked to God about it? Have you gone to God and told him that you're angry?" "Oh, you can't go and talk to God and tell him you're angry." I said, "You know, the Lord has very broad shoulders. He's quite capable of coping with your anger. The thing that God cannot cope with is us turning our back to him and trying to say, 'Oh, well, God did this to me. I'm not going to have anything to do with him.'" I said, "Go to him. Pound your fist at him if you need to." And I read sometimes some psalms to them of where David has pounded his fist at God, or the different psalmists have pounded their fist at God. And God has been gracious enough to take that because God loves us and just longs to share our experiences with us and knows there are going to be times in our life when we're going to feel that way and longs to walk with us and to be with us in that situation. So David sinned and Bathsheba became pregnant, and then, oh my goodness, sin follows sin, doesn't it? And don't you find that in your own life? What a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. It starts off just one little thing. "Oh, it won't hurt if I just do this." But then this and this and this, and so it goes on. But you say, "Oh, I never did a thing like David did." But you know, sin is sin. And often we're very good, especially as Christians, we're very good at deciding that this is a little sin and this is a big one. Whereas God says, they're all the same to me. Your pride or your jealousy or your envy at someone else is just as strong to me, just as bad a sin to me as somebody murdering someone or somebody being a homosexual, somebody doing this or that or the other, whatever you think is a big sin. They're all sins to God and all cut us out from his presence because God is a holy God. Okay, so David's sin. Well, it's interesting to see what Nathan says about David's sin. He doesn't say, Nathan says, thus says the Lord, I know I delivered you out of your father, or made you king, I've done all these wonderful things, but, and then he goes on and he says, why have you despised the commandment of the Lord, doing evil in his sight? First of all, he says, he doesn't say, you have taken Bathsheba, he says, you have despised God's commandments. And that is where we start off, girls. When we sin, we despise God's commandments. And you've committed adultery and murder, he goes on to say. And then he goes on to say, and he says, and you have despised God himself. And that is how serious sin is to God. You have despised God himself. And you've given great occasion to others to blaspheme. And remember, if people look at us and see what we've done, when we've sinned, it gives great occasion to others to be able to say, well, see what Mary did? Yeah, she calls herself a Christian, but there she is talking about other people like that. See what Mary did? And it brings great discredit on the Lord Jesus. So this is David's sin, this is our sin. When we sin, we not only cut ourselves off from relationship with other people, but most and foremost, we despise God's commandments, we despise God himself, and we give great occasion for God's name to be dishonoured. Well, what was David's condition living with unconfessed sin? And that's the Psalms. In Psalm 32, 38 and 51, if you want to go home and read them, my goodness me, I'll just to look at a couple of them with you. It says in Psalm 32, when I kept silence before I confessed, my bones wasted away through my groaning all the day long. Can you relate to this? I know I can. I know at times in my life when I've sinned, and I know I've sinned, and I know that I'm cut off from fellowship with the Lord Jesus, and it's misery of misery, isn't it? You feel alienated. He felt alienated from his God. Verse 3. He was alienated. And then in verse 4 of 32 it says, "For day and night," Psalm 32, "For day and night your hand of displeasure was heavy upon me. My moisture was turned into the drought of summer." Days and nights were heavy upon him. He couldn't talk to his Lord. He couldn't have that sweet communion that they'd had together because he'd cut himself off from his God because he was trying to hide from God. And in his sin, knowing that he was unable to meet with God. So his life was a misery. And verse 4 says it was like a heavy burden, and as Bethany just sang to us about that burden that's there on our heart when we have unconfessed sin before God. That's how he was feeling. The light of his eyes had gone. How terrible. He was miserable and he was joyless. Are we sensitive to sin in our lives? Poor old David was sensitive to his sin, but he was completely cut off from God and he didn't know what to do about it. Because he had sinned and because he had done these things, he knew he was cut off from his God and he didn't know what to do about it. And you know, he lived in that situation for the whole of Bathsheba's pregnancy, and then the baby was born and there was another few months before Nathan actually came to him and talked to him. So he lived with that sin for over a year. How awful to to feel so cut off from his God for that time. And so often we can feel like that too. So there can be no intimacy with our God while we continue in sin. Things would have gone on from bad to worse, I think, if it had just been left up to David. But that's the wonderful thing. But God steps in. And God steps in, and first of all, he sends Nathan to David. I wonder what would have happened if God hadn't stepped in. I hate to think, but God did step in. And God sent Nathan to David. And it says that in 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 1, the Lord sent Nathan to David. How merciful and gracious was that? What a great God of mercy and compassion we have. So how did God step into the picture? He sent Nathan, and Nathan told him that little story about the little ewe lamb and the person with the great flocks of herds. And do you know, David listened to that story and still didn't realise it was about him. And he said, the person who's done that is dreadful. I'll really have to put him out of my kingdom. And Nathan comes back with, thou art the man. And suddenly David was faced up to his sin and to his alienation from his God. And it broke that dreadful drought that was in him. And his heart was full of pain, I'm sure. The Lord was dealing with David. I believe that all through those months of David's torment, the Lord was dealing with David. It's our wonderful, merciful God who deals with us when we sin and when we feel so alienated, so cut off, so as if our bones are all shrinking and as if we're full of drought. That is God speaking to you and saying, hey, Mary, I love you. I want to be restored. I want to restore a relationship between us. And we can only do that if you'll come to me in forgiveness. And I'm just longing to forgive you. So there was David. David's confession. Well, Psalm 51 is that beautiful, heart-rending psalm of confession where it says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to the multitude of your tender mercy and loving kindness, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me and make me wholly pure from my sin. For I am conscious of my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. I have sinned against the Lord, David says in verse 4. Against you, you only have I sinned. Against you only have I sinned. But you say, but Mary, he didn't just sin against the Lord. Like, that's the least of it. He sinned against Bathsheba and he sinned against Uriah. And he sinned against that little baby that was born that had to die. So how can we say that he just sinned against the Lord? You know, first and foremost, when we sin against the Lord. And we hurt lots of other people in the train of that. But first and foremost, we sin against the Lord. And David realised that. He realised that first and foremost, he had failed his God miserably and utterly. And then he'd failed Bathsheba and killed Uriah. And lots of other soldiers too lost their lives in that battle because of David's sin. So David had done great sin, but he acknowledged that he was first and foremost, it was against the Lord that he had sinned. He acknowledged he was a sinner, and that's all we have to do. Acknowledge our sin to the Lord. He asked for mercy. And God is a merciful God and loves to give us mercy and to restore us. And he had first and foremost betrayed his relationship with his God, and then all down the slippery trail he went. He realised that he deserved to be punished. He knew that he had to be punished. And Nathan then went through the punishment. And you can go back and read in 2 Samuel chapter 12 the punishment that David had to endure, which was a very substantial punishment. And you know, that is the thing, sin has a price. So God David realised that he deserved to be punished by God. He asked for cleansing and he asked for forgiveness. Well, why was David willing to forgive David? Why was God, willing to forgive David all these terrible things? And why is God willing to forgive you? And you're saying, well, David was a king. I'm just a nobody. So why does God bother about me? The lovely thing is, whether we're a king or whether we're the homeless person with nowhere to live, God loves us all equally. He created us, he made us, he loves us all, and he just longs to be gracious. David realised that the Lord wanted a restored relationship with him, and to David that was absolutely amazing. And to you and I, that should be absolutely amazing too. And you know, David lived before the Lord Jesus came to this earth, before he could have the same kind of relationship that we have with the Lord. He had a beautiful relationship with his God, but we have been given so much more. In Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 7, 4 to 7, we read, I'll just read that quickly to you, because it just reminds us of what the Lord Jesus has given to us. And it says there, lost Titus, he's gone away, Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Okay, Titus chapter 3, and it says here, chapter 3 verse 4, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Saviour to man appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but because of his own pity and mercy, by the cleansing bath of the new birth and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Not through anything we could do, but because of his great mercy, he came beside us and he said, I came to earth for you. I died on a cross for you, Mary. I died on a cross for each of you. My hands were pierced for you. And I just long that you should ask for forgiveness of me and become my child. That is what the Lord wants from us most of all. He wants us to know him in an intimate relationship. You know, if we don't know God in that way, we have a great big large hole in our heart. Pascal, the great scientist, put it this way. He said that there's a God-shaped vacuum within our hearts that only God can fill. And Saint Augustine said, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. So what can we learn from this story? We can learn that God is a forgiving God and that he comes here this morning and says, hey, okay, you've been cut off from fellowship with me because you've sinned, but I want so much for you to be my daughter and for you to walk in fellowship with me. So God is a forgiving God who instigates forgiveness. He instigates the forgiveness. And sin has a price tag. That's another thing we can learn from this story. From then on, after his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah, David had to live with the consequences of his sin. And we have to live with the consequences of our sin. So sin is serious business because it always leaves a scar. It always leaves a scar. It may not leave a scar on our life, although pretty well it will, but it would definitely leave a scar on the lives of other people. So sin has a price tag and we have to live with the consequences of our sin. We are so much richer than David ever was. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. And in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 it says that when we ask the Lord Jesus to come into our life, the Holy Spirit is given to us as a seal or as like a stamp that we belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the Holy Spirit lives within us. And the Holy Spirit moves in our heart and says, hey, Mary, don't go that way. Don't move that way. But if I'm out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus and if I'm saying, oh, I don't really want to have anything part to do with you, the Holy Spirit will still be there in my life, but The Lord is always very gracious, and if Mary Gilchrist wants to do it herself, then she can, with all the consequences that is born. But the Holy Spirit is there, and he longs to just be in control of my life and of your life. So we are so rich. We have the assurance that we are daughters of the King of Kings. John 1:12 it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the daughters or the sons of God. And so we have the assurance that we are his. Well, once David's sin was confessed, he did have a restored relationship. And if we're a Christian living with unconfessed sin, we may need to come to the Lord and talk to him about it. We may need to ask him for forgiveness this morning. We may need to meditate upon what needs to be forgiven in our lives. What we're saying, no, Lord, I want to control over that. I really don't want to do anything. I don't want you to touch that. And you know, I was talking to a lady a little while ago, and she said to me, there is something in my life that holds me back from a full relationship with the Lord Jesus, from a full intimate relationship with him. She said, it is a sin that I've had there for a long time. And she said, I don't think I can do anything about it. And I said, oh, I see. I said, but doesn't that cut you off from an intimate fellowship with him? And she said, well, it may. But she said, you know, I'm pretty good. I lead a Bible class and I do lots of things. So does it really matter if I still have this sin in my life? I can't really help it anyway. I said, well, yes, it does, because the Lord wants to deal with those things in our lives that are holding us back from fellowship with him. And she sat next to me and the tears started to roll down her cheeks and she said, I love God. I want to have everything handed over to him. But I find this very hard because, she said, I have no control over this sin. And it was in her thought life. She said, it just comes to me and I can't do anything about it. I said, well, look, let's just talk to the Lord about it and let's just ask the Lord to give you the victory over that. Now, that has been a struggle for some time now, but that lady is learning to deal with that sin that was in her life that the Lord put his finger on. And sometimes when the Lord puts his finger on something in our life, it's very painful. And for this lady, it's been very painful because as she's dealt with that and as she's thought about that, she's realised that there are hurts from when she was sexually abused as a little girl that have come back to her because now she's asking the Lord to deal with those things in her life that were stopping her from having a full communion with him. And it's been very painful. But she's just written to me and I thought I'd just share a little bit of the letter with you. She said, again and again, I'm taking every thought captive to Christ so that with God's help, this last area can be dealt with so that I'm free. I long so much to be pure in thought as well as action so that all I do and think and say brings glory to my God. I've had days that have been good and days of grief, as I've struggled to come to grips with the memory of sexual abuse. But God knows all about that. We've had a long talk, the Lord and I, and I've told him all the details. I've realised that part of the problems that I've had to deal with over the last few years are based on what happened in my childhood. And of course, I have always just thought that I was a very bad, very warped child because I had abnormal sexual thoughts and desires when I was little. So I've lived with this guilt and burden, quietly hidden away, so ashamed to tell anyone. And I would always have been that way if God hadn't brought back this memory. And I realise now that these childhood thoughts and behaviour has affected my life. In one sense, it's been a relief to discover I'm not abnormal and I don't need to look back on my early path with guilt. So I thank God for bringing this incident back to my memory. At last I've realised what I'm doing. I've asked God to hold my hand and to help me face these memories and these thoughts and to deal with them. I know I can't do it myself, but I need to, with the Lord's help, so that healing can take place as I hold on tightly to the Lord and to his word. So you too may have something in your life that's quite seemingly something that you can't deal with. But with the Lord and you together, you can deal with it, knowing that he wants to hold your hand and to bring you into a new relationship with himself and a new relationship with others, because he loves you so much. I just wanted to finish with a little poem, and it's called The Black Sheep, and it was written by a Negro. It says, "Poor little black sheep that strayed away, gone lost into wind and the rain. And a shepherd, he say, 'Oh, hireling, don't find my sheep again.' But the hireling say, 'Oh, shepherd, that sheep am black and bad.' But the shepherd, he smile like that little black sheep was the onliest lamb he had. And he say, 'Oh, hireling, hasten, for the wind and the rain are cold. And that little black sheep am loathsome out there so far from the fold.' But the hireling frown, 'Oh, shepherd, that sheep am old and grey.' But the shepherd, he smile like that little black sheep was fair as the break of day. And he said, 'Oh, hireling, hasten. Lo, here are the 99, but there, way off from the sheepfold, is that little black sheep of mine.' And the hireling frown, 'Oh, shepherd, there's all the sheep here you need.' But the shepherd, he smile like that little black sheep, he hold it most as dear. And the shepherd go out in the darkness where the sheep, its night was cool and bleak, and that little black sheep, he find it and he lays it close to his cheek. And the hireling frown, 'Oh, shepherd, don't bring back that sheep to me.' But the shepherd, he smile and he hold it close, and that little black sheep was me."